It's 8:12. You're listening to KGNU. And actually, what you're listening to right now, Steve Jones, is what, a flammulated owl?
Yes, that's a little flammulated owl. It's an owl about the size of your fist that we recorded in Long Canyon last summer.
Tell me more about this recording that we're listening to right now.
It's called Dawn Chorus in the Colorado Rockies, and it's a CD produced by the Boulder County Nature Association birdsong classes of the last 2 years. So it's a cooperative project, and it has 55 different birdsongs on it recorded in their natural settings.
And actually, it's turned out to be a cooperative project with KGNU as well, since I got the honor of helping you to edit these birdsongs.
That's right. Shelley put the various tracks together. What you hear on the CD are single tracks. They're not overdubbed, but we had to put them together in a natural way, and you did a great job with that.
Well, it started with great sound that you got in what, at 4 a.m. in the morning?
Well, what we found is to record bird songs in Boulder County without traffic noise or airplane noise, you really have to go out at about 4:30 on Sunday morning. Weekdays don't work. And we worked really hard to get pure sound. So on this CD, there are no human voices and almost no other human sounds.
What did you discover by going out and gathering sounds? You had a special microphone that focuses right in on a bird. It's called a parabolic microphone.
And we used a lightweight parabola. And when you put the headsets on and aim the parabola at the birds, it changes your whole view of the world. You suddenly realize there's a whole world of magic out there in the way birds sing, and we just hear a small bit of it. What I like to compare it to is if you were a classical music aficionado and you wanted to explain classical music to someone, but you only had a 150 RPM turntable to play it on, and you played Beethoven's Fifth to someone, so it went by in about 2 minutes. That's about how we hear bird songs. We don't have the acuity to really pick up all the subtleties and intricacies. And when you put the headphones on and point the parabola, it's just fantastic, the sounds you get.
Well, something else that I think is special about what you've done is there are many albums that have to do with specific bird songs where it says, here is the flammulated owl, and then you hear the flammulated owl. Or here is the crow, and then you hear the crow. But this is birds singing to each other in their natural habitat, so lots of sounds of their community.
Right, and one of the things that people who are trying to learn bird songs have trouble with is sorting the songs. You know, so we're recording several songs at once, but we provide a libretto inside the CD that tells you what you're hearing at what time. So you can follow along, but it's not interrupted with that human voice. And I think it's more natural. It's a more natural way to learn the songs. And you can also use it as a relaxation or meditation tape.
Have you had friends tell you that they find it relaxing?
Yeah, it puts them to sleep, and they use that as an excuse for not learning the bird songs.
So perhaps this isn't something to listen to while you're driving.
I don't know. I do all the time.
Well, okay. So it can be something relaxing or something uplifting or something meditative.
That's right.
Or educational.
That's right. And we hope people will enjoy it. We have, they're only available one place in Boulder at the Wild Bird Center on 28th Street. But if you want to drop by, they play it often on their system. So you can listen and see if you'd like a copy.
And the long run, it's a fundraiser for the Boulder County Nature Association.
I wouldn't say it's much of a fundraiser for BCNA. We're trying to break even. Maybe an awareness raiser is what we're trying to do.
How can people find out more information about that group?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.bcna.org, and find out about our classes. The classes are wonderful. They're the most fun classes I've ever taught because we have groups of people who love nature and who love to get together, and most of what we do is outdoors. And many of the classes result in a project like this one, so that we're actually doing something to educate and conserve nature while we're studying.
And some of it's very lively, like this sound from Shadow Canyon.
Well, when we first went up into Shadow Canyon and put on the headphones, we were just blown away. We thought we were in the jungle. And what we noticed is that when we took off the headphones, we suddenly heard much more than we had before. So what you're hearing here is a great horned owl and a yellow-breasted chat and some lazuli buntings, and this is really truly the dawn chorus.
The dawn chorus, the true singers of the world.
Well, birds are amazing singers, and we tend to, when we hear a bird, we tend to hear one song, and now what we know is some birds have hundreds of songs, and each song is distinct. It's sung the same way each time. And, of course, songs are used to attract mates and to hold territories, and they've evolved to be incredibly complex.
Well, that's so wonderful, and I'd love to talk more about birds, but let's also talk a little bit about one of the news items for what's been happening in November. What about that Preble's jumping mouse, Steve Jones? Can you tell the difference between a Preble's jumping mouse and a house mouse?
Oh, that's easy. The difficulty is telling the difference between a Preble's meadow jumping mouse and another meadow jumping mouse, and there's been quite a debate about this over the last few years and a number of studies, and I think the recent results of these studies indicate that with DNA, you can distinguish Preble's as a separate subspecies of the meadow jumping mouse, and that's why it's being protected, because that subspecies is threatened here along the Front Range.
And for us normal mortals who don't know how to test DNA, you can tell the house mouse from one of these meadows jumping mouse, because the meadows jumping mouse have these very long tails.
Yeah, the main feature is a very long tail, and they do really jump up into the air. Their habitat is quite different. They're found in wet meadows and riparian areas, whereas house mice were imported from Europe, and they're found primarily in your house.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the politics of whether or not this should be an endangered species and what that means, but you have a piece of advice for people locally if they want to protect the meadows jumping mice.
Yeah, one problem we have in Boulder is we all care about animals a lot, so the tendency is instead of to use lethal traps in our houses is to live trap animals and release them. And that's fine in some circumstances, but a number of people have been releasing house mice into Preble's jumping mouse habitat on open space, and it is illegal to do that. And some of the trapping, the live trapping that's been done out there for research purposes, has found areas where house mice are actually displacing the jumping mice.
So don't let your house mice out in a meadow, because then you're going to hurt the jumping mice.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to do. Or trap a raccoon and take it out to open space.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, Steve Jones, and thank you also for the work you've done on that wonderful series of Don Corus bird songs.
Well, thanks for your help, Shelley, and I hope everyone enjoys it.